What are you doing? I'll tell you what you're doing. You're listening to the Elder Scrolls Lorecast. Either you are, or I'll be skipping rope with your entrails. Ta-ta.
This is the Elder Scrolls Lorecast, your source for lore and so much more. Adventurers, welcome back to the Elder Scrolls Lorecast. You've got me, Tom, and Lotus here, and our patrons, because it is the end of the month, and our patrons are joining us again to discuss different ways that they play the game, different builds they use, or the ways they roleplay in any of the games in the Elder Scrolls series, and this is going to be a lot of fun. Lotus, are you ready to talk about this?
I am.
Good. How does Rob the Princess feel?
Thank you.
Have you guys heard of Skyblivion?
Oh. Thanks, Rob. Speaking of Rob the Princess, we have Rob the Princess, Mintaka, Blinding Vision, and Falcon with the Box on joining. Welcome back, everybody. Why don't we all... here's what we're going to do. On the count of three, you're going to unmute, and you're going to do your best Rob the Princess impression. Here we go. One, two, three.
Are you Let me in, project?
Very good, very good. So the also, behind the scenes joke.
Yeah, before it goes on.
I'll explain it. The behind the scenes joke here.
Context, my lord.
Nice, Rob. Earlier this week, Rob's like, "Oh no, I'm not going to be able to make it. I've got this, some other things going on, and this will be the first time I miss one of these chats since I signed up as a patron." And I was like, "Oh, that's a real bummer." And then the idea, I don't remember if it was your idea, Rob, or if I came up with it, but
I think it was Lotus or was you it, or I don't know.
Well, somebody came up with an idea, and they're like, "You know what? Rob should just send in some recordings of him saying." Things and then I could hit buttons, and then it turns out that I set all that up.
I like orcs,
and now that's what we have. So,
and then 4 hours before the show, I ended up getting change of plans again, anyways.
Right. So Rob could make it. So I'm glad you were able to make it now, but I'm sorry your thing didn't work out. But yeah, right. Rob's back. Mintaka's here. Blinding Vision and Falcon with the Box on. And well, let's just get into it. We're talking different ways to play any of the games: Skyrim, Oblivion, Morrowind, Elder Scrolls Online. Who would like to share ways that they've enjoyed playing the games the most? What do you do to make it fun? Who would like to start? Anybody?
I can if no one else wants to.
Now, Blinding, sure. This was your idea, right? This was...
Yeah. I'm a big fan of builds and games that allow me to make builds, but it doesn't necessarily add to the fun. I have found the way that I play games, a lot of times I take away the fun for myself. And I tend to not finish a lot of games because of that. Like I'm one-shotting everything at a certain point in the game. Like this is, I crank up the difficulty. Doesn't matter. Still do it. But I'd like to kind of talk about Elder Scrolls Online, because the way it's set up, you kind of can't just one-shot everything. Not yet, at least.
Definitely with the night market stuff, you can't. I mean, that just came out today, and people are like, holy moly, I actually have to team up with people in order to kill things.
That's definitely group content, yeah.
Yeah. So, okay, so how do you play Elder Scrolls Online, and how is it different from, I'm assuming you're talking about mostly Skyrim, but any of the other games you've played, how do you do it?
So, I'm not one for the role play aspect of it. It's just I like the game aspect, where I make everything way more difficult for everybody else than it needs to be. So a lot of times, like my single player experience, I build something, I'm one-shotting everything, I lose interest, I go play another game. But Elder Scrolls Online, I like big numbers, whether it's damage numbers, but at various points I've posted some of these screenshots. I've got a tank with, hold on, base form, 107K max health, 107,000 health. If I transform, it goes up to like 158,000. So I'm like,
yeah,
mini boss level kind of thing, walking around.
Yeah, when you transform, are you referring to transforming into like a
Goliath for
the Goliath? Okay, that's what I was gonna say. I didn't know if you were doing a Goliath transformation or like a werewolf transformation, but okay, yeah. I figured for that much of a health jump, it had to be the Goliath, but
so I've got something similar with max stam, 68k max stam with untransformed. If I go into werewolf, it jumps up to about 81k. Again, just a big, stupid number. No reason for it. And the craziest one, I don't have the unmorphed number, but it's Max Magicka. I have 100,000 Max Magicka in the Vampire Lord. I just like big numbers.
Yeah, yeah. So this is a lot of what people who, and Lotus, you can speak on this more than I can, but a lot of the end game raiding people, it's all about maximizing, min-maxing those numbers, making them as big as possible in order to work with the group.
Kinda.
Yeah.
Yeah. So just based on like your desire to get like crazy big numbers, one of the things I got to ask, have you ever managed to get Emperor and Cyrodiil?
No, and I want to because I don't do the time commit because it's what 75% increase of all those.
It's changed at points throughout time, but it's something completely inane because I remember that I was close to like triple digits on stuff, and that's not what I build into because it was just like a split difference like actual PvP build, but like I think it might double everything is what it currently sits at. So it's just like all your stats will like double in on themselves, which is just ridiculous. And I used to joke that it's essentially allowing you to cheat in a multiplayer game within the rules of the game because it's just like hordes of people run at you. And I'm like, this is fun because you're real people and you don't stand a chance. Like I'm just completely ripping down people like they're NPCs. So it's like, this can't be fun for any of you.
You
right
become
now,
very the new medium of yourself.
Oh, it's absurd. the problem with, for the builds I make, most of those, like with the crazy big numbers, aren't viable in like any way.
That's sort of my point, is like, because that's why it's like mine wasn't split into one single stat. Because again, like if you're all of one specific type, the counterplay is to literally work to your one weakness, and you can't have all of them completely that high without, you know, sacrificing something.
Back in the day, the max health build was pretty funny. It was a Nightblade at the time, like solo Nightblade forever ago, and it was sitting at about 100k in Cyrodiil. And what I would do was I would just heavy attack, and the Nightblade invisibility skill, its other morph, it was a self-heal that healed 33% of your max health at one time.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when you're sitting at 100k max health, a single tick of it heals you for 33k, and it was unkillable. It was annoying, it was obnoxious, it was so much fun. I got so much hate mail.
Well, that's the thing with it's so funny about that. And Ark from, you know, my other co-host in Tales, he used to do stuff like that when he would go into Battlegrounds, and he was like, the diminishing returns here are a little unfortunate, because he's like, I've basically made myself next to unkillable, so I stand on an objective and people just wail on me and they don't do the objective, but then there's three of them on the objective, so there's more of them, so it's actually still taking the objective and I can't kill them because I don't do any damage because I'm only built for durability. So he's like, I just stand there and then get depressed that I'm like not able to do anything back to them and they can't kill me. So they just eventually take the position and run away because they're like, it's not worth trying to fight this person. It's not going to net us anything.
Right.
So counterpoint to that though, the either Chaos Ball or Relic. You can control
Chaos Ball. Chaos Ball is fantastic. Like that was built for stuff like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is a lot of fun. So what is your mindset when you go into this? Are you digging through wikis, finding the exact gear with the biggest stats, and then planning your route to go get everything you need? Or are you crafting it? Like how do you work all of that out?
So I've been playing since launch. So a lot of that stuff is either already unlocked, a lot of it's base game gear. The max health one, Plague Doctor, comes out of Deshaun, which is one of the base game zones pretty early on in the Red storyline.
Now, do you know that because you've compared it to all the other potential gear you can get, and then every time there's a new expansion, do you check to make sure it's the absolute max still, or
sometimes?
Okay.
So I used to do that. It was a lot of fun for me to. I'm a nerd. I used to do the math. I used to be able to. It's been years since I did it, but I would be able to accurately call the meta for like in-game trials every time a patch was released. It was like, it's going to be this, you're going to change that, you're going to, I called the Khajiit swap, like when everyone was running around as kitty cats for a patch or two. And I was like, but oftentimes I'd use it for evil, like making a max health build or making a speed build. I made a character that could outrun maxed out horses.
That's that great.
That was my favorite. Oh, he's I named him Barry Allen, and he's got like the Barry Allen, like I made the character look like that. It's fantastic.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
Yeah. So do you always focus on one stat with these, like maxing out a single thing? Is that like each one is for that?
Kind of. So sometimes like the three main attribute ones, that's exactly what I was going for. I made all those in about a week. I was just looking what the max, comparing, like, there's some sets that give higher numbers if you have a food or drink buff. And I did the math to see if, the number plus the food plus the extra thing ended up being more than just like the food. And, but yeah, generally if I'm looking for that, I'm assuming you saw the background.
Yeah, it's been looping, but, and I'm wondering, I keep on hoping somebody's going to point it out in chat, but yeah. It's
yeah, but I typically go for the one number at a time.
Yeah.
Because I can.
Yeah. So, okay, any other questions about this? I mean, Mintaka had a question. Rob, Falcon, is this...
I used to use the UESP build editor for all the little number crunching. Did you ever use like a website to like compare that, or did you just test it out in game after grabbing all of the equipment, like really efficiently?
So the build editor, until very recently, I didn't have a computer, so I was using my phone, and I would go a lot of times UESP, and there used to be another site that was really good about the sets. Mm-hmm. I think they've fallen off a little bit, and UESP, you can kind of see when it was last edited, so you know if there's
changes. How fresh it's going to be. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Have you considered actually doing content around this stuff? Because there's a number of people who do builds and things, but to do like the kinds of stuff you're talking about feels very different from what you get in a typical build site. Oh, if you want to min-max this, like in order to, in your case, you'd be like, all right, here's a build that outruns horses. Go.
That one upsets me. That one used to be fantastic. They change how speed stacks, and you can kind of do it with the Ring of the Wild Hunt. Now,
I was about to say, I know that one's been nerfed because Dog used to have one from Red Diamond Courier.
Yeah,
used to talk about having one too, and I was like, yeah, no. A couple of my buddies had those when they were trying to collect ingredients because they were, you know, short on stacks for making potions for trials, so they just had a speed one where they were just like, yeah, no, I just run around in this loop at like mock speed just to grab as much crap as fast as I can. I'm like,
I was running all the vines and the Steed Mundus and Fjord's Legacy, and this is before like the jewelry crafting and Wild Hunt Ring, and like outrunning horses. It was also around the same time that they released the jester personality, the high step one.
Run. Good.
I was in PvP doing that, like that's, keeping that's up hilarious. With like Zergris, and I'm just high stepping. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
I would imagine that would be very effective for carrying the scroll if you are playing PvP as
that's
well.
True.
It was. True. I've only done it once, but I got killed by a desync where they
That stinks.
And took like 300,000 points of damage in under a second by some guy that wasn't there.
That's unfortunate. That's most unfortunate.
So going back to the question, have you considered actually creating guides and builds about this kind of stuff?
Kind of. A lot of times people will see some of the crazy numbers, especially the health one, because in game you can see that, and just tell people. I'm not gatekeeping. I'm not good at.
You might get some good clicks on a YouTube video, you know, and you do this pretty regularly. You drop a few videos a month, and all of a sudden you have a channel, and you're starting to make a little bit of money on the side. It's not a bad idea if you're going to do it anyway. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I'm really bad about documenting the dumb things that I do.
That is the trickiest part.
I started talking about it after I did it.
Yeah. Well, here's what you do. You set up a recording and you record yourself doing it. And then now you can edit that into a video, you rewatch what you did and go, oh yeah, I did this, I did this, I did this. Then you simply just explain it with footage from the video that you recorded. Boom, you've got a guide, a quick little 8-minute video. All of a sudden that's monetizable if you get a big enough channel. You're making, maybe you make enough money to pay for your car or whatever, you know?
Well, I'm in the Discord. Someone say something if you like that. Let me know if it's worth doing, and I'll.
I think people would be into these. I think these weird builds. I think people will click on that.
Yeah, I think they would too. I think especially if it's like one weird quirky thing, mm-hmm. and that's your title, right?
Right.
You know, watch me make a max whatever build, and you know, so right. I think people would click on it.
Right. I made an indestructible build where nobody can beat me in Cyrodiil. Like people are going to click on that.
To be fair, that's how every build is described.
Yeah, right, yeah. Right. But
this unkillable god build.
If you get to the like runs god faster mode. Than horses, or you do something really, really wacky, that's the stuff that's really going to stand out. And then people come to your channel and then they realize that you also do other builds too. And yeah, all of that can work together. Well, Blinding Vision, this has been super cool and very, very interesting. Do you have anything to wrap this up? Because we got to cover everybody else.
No. That's about it.
Okay. Very cool stuff.
Nerd out a little bit.
Yeah, and if anyone wants to get a little bit more insight in how to do these, reach out. Blinding Vision's on the Discord. Thanks, Blinding. Who would like to go next? Who has a different way of playing the game, or different builds, or role playing things that they want to share? Or do I get to pick somebody? I was going to say
mine can be quick if we want, because actually I already know Blinding and I have a very similar style of play across multiple games. Mm-hmm. So again, you go a little more into like the extremes of like, oh, I want to be able to just like focus on one specific thing and kind of just go crazy with it type of deal, health, whatever the case type of deal. Whereas I'm very much of like, well, I don't want to be restricted. I just want to be the best at everything, which in single player games, you can do whatever you want. It doesn't matter type of deal. But then when you get into an online style game like ESO or something like that, you have to, for lack of a play fair, like they will balance you if you're too far out of the realm to a degree. But I'm actually always like much more of a defensive mindset whenever I build stuff. I do it in single player games, I do it in multiplayer games. I like to then like go into
glass
stuff,
armor.
glass armor, the most durable of all things. It's interesting just like listening to you talk about that, because for the longest time I only played a tank until we were allowed to kind of like have multiple.
Same.
When they pretty much, once they opened it up and they were like, hey, your achievements are now tied to your profile rather than your character, I was like, oh, cool, I'll play something else to help people if they would like. Because before I was like, no, I'm just playing my one character. Get out of here. Like, I'm not, I like having my little collection and all this stuff. And it wasn't always have the most health necessarily, but my thing was, I was just like, I need to be all purpose durable and be able to physically do everything with just my one character. I like to play lots of different characters. I don't necessarily restart Skyrim, even though I have like 3,700 hours in Skyrim. It's just one playthrough until my save has just been abused so badly that it corrupts or something like that. That's mm-hmm. when I would restart Skyrim. It's like, no, it can't take anymore. Not so much I want to restart. Mm-hmm. So that's something I definitely share in common. And whatever you've mentioned how you play, I'm like, oh yeah, that sounds familiar. Like it's just sort of like different tweaks on how can I just be the most over the top version of what I am. So, you know, for sake of ease, I feel like you kind of covered most of it, but I just wanted to kind of chime in that it's like, yeah, you and I seem like we have very similar play styles to when we play games, where it's just like, I'll make a backstory for my character and a look for my character, and then it's all gameplay for me. Past that, it's like, that's really my only role-playing thing. And then it's the game itself. But like, I like to set myself up the first time. And then I, as everybody knows, never change. What are we, year 12 with Elder Scrolls Online? Still wearing my glass armor.
The appearance is pretty much the only real like role-play thing that I do. That names occasionally. Like I've
sure, yeah, no, I know. Yeah, I try not to have overly obnoxious names too frequently.
Every now and then.
Look, if I can make them obnoxious and lore appropriate, that's the sweet spot, really.
Nice. Aldrin. Anybody have any questions for Lotus? I guess that does, like, that's your thing, right? Like, it doesn't get old because that's what resonates with you. Like, for me, yeah. I'm like, oh, okay, I've been playing the same way for so long. I need to change it up.
Right.
The old bread and butter.
The old,
well,
old
bread and butter. Well, so if you only have limited saves in, say, Skyrim, and you have 3,900 hours, is there a point in a given save where you've done all of the quests that there are in the actual vanilla game?
I'm sure. So ironically enough, you say that, I would say I'm sure I've missed something over the years just because these games are so immense. Yeah. But funny enough, you mentioned that I actually just discovered as a side effect, I didn't know this was a thing, and it is in completely vanilla Skyrim. So what is that, 15 years I've been in and out of Skyrim, and I just found something new. I was listening to my friends over at Skyrimatic podcast, and they mentioned in general completing the Thieves Guild and really restoring it to prominence. And I'm like, what does that mean? They get into it,
right?
And they're like, oh yeah, no, I've never done it. And one of the guys, I forget, it might have been Victor, who was like, oh, I tried doing it and I just couldn't take it anymore. What you have to do is when you complete the Thieves Guild, you then do the Radiant quests to get the different merchants.
Yeah.
After that, if you continue to do Radiant quests into the hundreds of them, it starts putting different sculptures that the guild has recollected on the wall, along with like the eyes. And I'm like, I never knew this
was
a thing.
That's crazy.
Like,
hundreds of Radiant quests.
And I think I'm pretty sure one of them was like, yeah, I got to 150 and I couldn't take it anymore. I was so bored. He's like,
I didn't know about that.
Yeah. So, because
you can never do it.
So right, you end up stealing from everybody in Skyrim
correct.
At some point.
And apparently you just eventually get some good stuff along the way. God. But because I'm a sicko, I was like, well, I need to do this now. But I'm not going to lie. This is going to be in chunks because I got to about 40 and I was like, we're gonna turn off Skyrim.
You're like irreparably change the economy of the whole province.
Oh my God.
Completely crashed Tamriel's economy.
Yeah. Oh, that's insane.
Everyone is just no possessions.
Yeah, so I will say that oftentimes I'll be like, what more could I possibly do here? And then something like that comes along, and you're like, right, I just found something new, which is wild to me when I heard that. I was like, I've never known that to be a thing.
Yeah, I didn't know about that either. That's crazy. And we do a show about these things. Oh, man.
So
I'm stunned. Yeah.
One of the things that gets me, though, is that you guys mentioned it over on Tales was like, there's nothing pointing to that. There's no achievement, no mention of it. It just kind of happens. Was it Ark that was like, I wonder if the other guilds have that?
I was going to say, because they all have Radiant style things. But I, again, had they not mentioned it on Skyrim Addict, I was like, okay, this is something totally different. And it's like, it sort of made sense, though, because like when I immediately went to go check it out, there's a lot of places on that shelf with like the Falmer Eye and stuff like that that just had nothing there. And I'm like, oh, that's kind of neat that it just steadily fills it out, because I'm curious, like, what kind of crazy crap are they throwing on those walls that's like,
yeah,
you know, it's 75 of these things. What did I get?
Like, yeah, how did someone figure that out?
Somebody's got to be very
because observant. Well, the game's been around long enough. There are, but just like the way that you guys lean into the one way you play your games.
Yes,
there's somebody out there who's like all about Radiant quests, and right, they're like, oh, okay, let's see if there's an end to this. I'm just mm-hmm. going to keep playing them until right. it stops.
Like,
if
will
possible.
It stop? Right. Right. It
just well. Works. There couldn't be Radiant quests, endless Radiant quests for every faction, because like the Dark Brotherhood,
just murder
no
everybody.
More people.
I'll find a way.
Some are a little more finite. We'll just push the husks across the finish line.
Bring them back, kill them again.
Yeah, at the end of the Dark Brother, don't they just like start creating NPCs for you to assassinate, like random noble woman or something like that?
That's probably it.
Yeah, I feel like it does.
I feel like
it's been so long. I feel like that's how they did it.
Hold on, can you
can you meet those characters and then abandon the quest? Or can you just add extra just characters to Skyrim?
Maybe.
Then maybe eventually.
Or just kill them.
Yeah.
There are 3,000 noble women now.
Please, someone do that. I know there's so many nobles like that. That's populating their play style.
Oh, we're coming. Speaking of content creation, we're coming up with all sorts of fun ways to break the game.
Say, now that right there is a video.
These are all videos somebody needs
Here's
to make.
My white run. It's 95% nobles.
Yeah.
Name well, if it gets the Cloud District, though.
Well, we need to keep moving. I want to give everyone a chance to share. Mintaka, do you want to go? Would you like to share how you like to play games?
So, I mean, okay, so the games of the series that I've played include ESO, Skyrim, Oblivion, and then some of the mobile games, which are not relevant, really, to my point. So typically I'll start out with a particular build in mind. Like, I will either try to do pure mage, or in Skyrim, I'll try to stick to something. And then as time goes on, I become an all-rounder and I do everything. And the longer it goes,
stealth archer.
Well, the funny thing is that I have only had one build that really turned into what was majority stealth archer. And I don't think I was trying to avoid it or anything. It just never happened. However, I found archery in Oblivion to be way harder than in Skyrim. So it never went that way. I did pure mage. But I found also that magic and that was a little bit more difficult. Than in Skyrim, but it still worked out that way. But yeah, so everything starts off with like a very clear plan, like these parameters, we're going to be using this type of weapon or whatever, or we're going to have this type of armor. And then slowly, as the hours pass, it expands, and it takes sometimes longer than other times for that to happen. But after, you know, hour 900 of a particular save, it's like, well, what else is there to do with myself except become, you know, a stealth archer or whatever. Or my mage is going to have to learn heavy armor two-handed right now, so there's nothing else to do.
And it's way harder later on in the game when you're like way low on those stats and everything else is much more difficult.
Yeah, you get to enjoy being a baby again.
Yeah.
Do you go in with the I guess, so like certain races are more geared towards certain things, like generally you don't see many orc mages. It's just not around. You also don't see a whole lot of like battle axe wielding elves. Do you take that into account with your like plan?
Yes, I usually do, right? I usually do try to fit it to what's going to be the most useful for the thing that I have in mind, and it works great. And then later on I go toward the other stuff. So, and then sometimes I'll do something very neutral. Like I'll just be like, something that could go anyway, right? Like the latest Skyrim run I did, I was just an Imperial. So I could be boring, but then just kind of do whatever. But within Oblivion, you know, like it seems to be much more relevant what you choose in some ways.
Yeah. Do you have a favorite? Do you have like a favorite build that you've done? Like a
one that really sticks with you? I like playing a mage that also can use some weapons. So kind of battle mage, I guess. Still light armor usually, typically, but then like at least in Oblivion, like a decent amount of strength.
Do you do the conjure weapons or?
No, I typically don't. I typically just go for the actual weapons because I don't know, I like them. Mm-hmm. But then in ESO I was a sorcerer the most part. That was pretty fun. I haven't played loads of ESO, but I really enjoyed it. I used to play a lot of other MMOs and I came pretty late to ESO, but I really like the way that you can have many different characters and kind of like try out every concept that you want.
Have you tried to do the same build in Skyrim that you had in Oblivion? Like the battle mage for Oblivion feels like, at least Lotus and I have talked about this a bit, to me it feels like that's what the game is pulling you towards is battle mage.
Yeah.
Whereas like Skyrim is pulling you towards stealth archer, whether you choose to go that way or not. Have you tried doing the battle mage in Skyrim? Do you feel like it works as well?
Yes, I have. I did a simultaneous when I played Oblivion. I did a simultaneous Skyrim, and I tried to make it as similar as possible. and it really screwed me up. It was kind of like
I was going to say, you know, those handle really differently these games, so I would imagine that would mess with me.
It did. It was like taking in college. I took Italian and French at the exact same time.
Oh, geez, yeah, no, don't do that.
God, I learned them both, but there was this one weird moment where things were messy, right?
Yeah.
And so I did do that. And so like I eventually was able to switch between the two games with no issues. So like my brain was running in two different, you know, I don't know, muscle memories or whatever. But in the beginning it was brutal. But yeah, I've tried it. I tried to replicate it and see like what would happen. And I actually liked it better in Oblivion.
Okay. Yeah. Did you find it more effective in Oblivion than Skyrim?
Yeah, I did. I found it more like, I found destruction to be more satisfying in Oblivion. I don't really know why. It was a little bit more difficult, but I liked it better.
Challenge makes more brain pain.
I got a build for you?
Oh, yeah? What's that?
I made a Khajiit a long time ago on like the original Oblivion. I made him look like a rat.
That's almost ironic.
Because you can totally mess up their faces.
Yeah, 100% can. Right, that face editor is just putty.
I named him Rathew, Rat for short. And I had a spell that it would just anytime I'd touch an enemy, it would one shot him, and I named it the Bubonic Plague.
Good.
Oh,
nice.
Yeah, perfect.
Yep.
Nice. Chef's kiss. That's pretty good. I feel like that's one of the worst things you could do to a Khajiit, like
make them look like a rat.
That's fair.
I'm sure he loved his life.
Got something worse, but
I always thought Oblivion had way more satisfying magic than Skyrim, just in general.
The spell creation. There is spell creation in Skyrim, right? It's just not as
correct. Yeah. It's just not as broken as in. Well, I was going to say, in Oblivion has, you know, pretty useful spell crafting. Skyrim is just out the window with the spell crafting, and it's all just a restricted version of the nightmares you could make in Morrowind, where it's just like, there's no rules. It's like, well, all right, this is totally broken.
Yeah. Well, hey, we need to keep moving because I know some of you guys need to leave early. I know Rob has to leave early. Who was the other one? Was it Blinding or Falcon? Falcon has to leave. The last two people to talk. So
let's do
great.
It.
Well organized. Go Good then. Job, me. Well, which of you would like to share?
I can go.
Yeah, go ahead, Rob.
I was trying to think of like what builds I would talk about, because over the past, you know, hundreds of episodes I've been on before, I've mentioned all the weird builds I've done. I've done like the no leveling anything at all build. That was a crazy hard challenge. I've done a wooden sword build. I named my character Cereo Pharrell from Game of Thrones.
Right, the sword master.
That one I played like to the T. I made him a red guard who had the outfit that looked just like Sierra Ferrell's outfit. He had leather gloves, which was the only armor that I was allowed to wear, because in the show he wears leather gloves and plain clothes otherwise. And I went the whole game with leather gloves as my only armor and a wooden sword as my only weapon. And I beat the entire game.
Nice.
And
the most insulting way to kill Alduin.
Chopped him 100,000 times until he finally
200,000 splinters until he was defeated.
And I treat like Skyrim like Pokemon, you know, like the first time you beat it, you play it normal, you play it quick and it's easy, and then from there you're like, okay, I need more challenge. And so I just started adding restrictions, like the Nuzlocke challenge for Pokemon, where you keep making it harder for yourself and making the game more interesting. And that's generally what I do. I do have like normal characters that I just like to role play. Like, and I have like specific themes and backstories planned for them and always build them a certain way. And I'll build them in ESO, Oblivion, Skyrim, whatever. And they'll have slightly different iterations. So those are fun to role play, but then I'm like, no, I need more. And so I just make it harder for myself by doing those ridiculous challenge builds.
Nice. Nice. So do you, if you had to pick one, is there one that you would recommend other people do and be like, this one was crazy, you should try it?
I mean, the wooden sword one is probably my favorite because it's very achievable and very silly. Mm-hmm. And it's like, it doesn't take that much. You just upgrade your, you max out your smithing skills so that you can have the best wooden sword in all of the lands.
This is the most powerful wooden sword.
I've got to know though, like a fully upgraded wooden sword, what is that thing doing for damage? Do you remember?
I don't remember, like, I don't even know what a normal sword does for damage in this game because it's been so long.
The numbers are very small compared to ESL.
But, of course, yeah.
Be other things.
But I do know if you have, like, a max one-handed skill, then even, like, an iron dagger is going to do a crap ton of damage if your skill is high enough. So if you max that out enough, you're still going to do pretty good job. And sure. Then... I remember I did like the breath that lets, I think it's elemental fury where you get to like swing twice as fast. Mm. So I just chopped them up with my wooden sword twice as fast.
Did you let yourself enchant or can you enchant those?
You can't.
No. In fact, I think the leather gloves were just plain leather gloves.
Clothing. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it had like an armor rating on them, but like it was just otherwise just leather gloves. And so I had to be very agile. I had to be, you know, dodging all the hits because I played this on Legendary.
Yeah, your rating's just a sad face at that point.
And so like that one, it's very achievable to do if you like those challenge builds. That's the one I would probably recommend the most. The no level build, I would only recommend if you're a masochist and a sicko and just hate yourself because holy crap. I think I had to shift down the difficulty from Legendary because it was just impossible.
Yeah, it's insane.
That's Skyrim, right? Skyrim doesn't, like, Oblivion doing it at level one, the whole world's like a scamp, like, is the hardest, like, danger enemy.
Right.
Yeah, but you're still scripted to encounter dragons, so even if it's the weakest dragon in the game, you're level one, and you can't use any means to kill it that might give you experience, so you have to punch it to death at level one.
Hold on. So not only are you not, you didn't like prevent yourself from gaining experience, you were avoiding.
Yeah, I did not sneak. I did not sell anything. I did not buy anything. I did not wear any armor. I did not wield any weapons. Yeah. You cannot do anything that gains you any amount of experience.
That's so much cooler than what I thought it was. It's
really so hard.
So it's like
miserable.
Experience.
Lots of walks.
Yeah, experience phobic. it's not even just level one.
I also find that funny because when you think about it, that's a challenge that you can only really do in Skyrim because walking in the other games will level you up.
That's true. Right.
Yeah, and also punching things levels up an unarmed skill in most games. Skyrim doesn't have a skill for that.
Yeah, right. So anything except Skyrim, the gameplay would be you staring sternly at the screen until you stop playing because there's no options to move or breathe.
And then some people are like, you can get the gauntlets that boost your unarmed damage. No, you can't because that's wearing armor. And if you wear armor, you're going to level up your heavy armor skill. Oh, well, I'll just disenchant that and put that effect on a ring. No, that will level up your enchanting skill. You can't do that.
Right.
You're just stuck.
You just need to be sad.
You're like both the most capable.
The game away from yourself.
You're the most capable and least capable person all at the same time.
Yeah. I ended up making, I think I did, it was an Argonian or a Khajiit. I know Khajiit was the most optimal. I might have chosen Argonian just for fun because it was just like a little bit worse. And then if you become a werewolf, that does not gain you any experience. And that gives you a way to, you know, deal with stronger enemies by doing the power attack with the werewolf swipes and knocking them down. And that's unarmed damage. It's just like punching. And so the Khajiit bonus damage you have for being a Khajiit or Argonian would actually stack on to the bonus you get as a werewolf for having a bonus unarmed damage. So you can still like improve your stats and get a little bit better. But the ceiling is like 10 feet up. And the rest of the game is 100,000 feet. Yeah, I was going to
say. The ceiling is like nothing more than a bunny hop.
Oh, yeah, that's crazy.
I do enjoy the idea of a Khajiit, a werewolf, too.
Yeah,
a cat dog.
The other side of the spectrum.
Yeah.
And that looks like a rat. So it's a cat dog
it
rat.
It looks oh, perfect. Yeah, just get it all involved.
Yep.
Kitty rat puppy.
Rob, this is some crazy stuff. I really like that you've gone into even greater detail with some of the stuff we've talked about before.
That's awesome.
Well, I want to give Falcon a chance before time runs out. Falcon, what do you want to share?
Yeah, I also do like mainly challenge runs like Rob. Let's see.
Do you have any stand in mind?
Yeah. Recently I did a I played an orc named Lunk.
Okay.
I was unarmed, illiterate, so if I needed to read a note for a quest, I had to do it with a follower near me to like justify they read it to me. They nice. Told me what I had to do.
Nice.
I love that.
just a big dumb orc. I liked that one. That was fun.
Not stereotypical at all.
Yeah.
Rob's gonna tell you something about orcs.
he's whittling a wooden sword as we speak.
Let's see. Pulling myself up by my bootstraps. I've talked about this in the Discord. I can only use stuff that I craft. I can't loot anything. If I want to make a sword, I gotta go mine the, you know, go mine the ore.
Yeah. I always liked that one when you explained that one. I thought that one sounded pretty interesting just to do.
It's fun.
Not overly obnoxious, but like just enough that you have to like focus on like, okay, this is a pretty different way of playing, but it's not just like I'm trying to find a way to grief myself.
Yeah, I tried to avoid buying stuff outside of like pickaxe and woodcutter's axe because I don't think you can craft those. Unless I missed it, I don't think
you're allowed to. I think
yeah, so I let myself buy those, but like I wouldn't buy armor from a merchant in that playthrough. I had to craft it, had to make the sword, and the one I'm doing right now, I just have to keep my carry weight between 40 and 50. Okay. I can't go above that.
So you just like you limited amount of carry, which is probably more realistic.
Yeah.
Like,
well, yeah. Because when you think of like, oh, my carry weight is only 40 or 50. Try carrying 40 or 50 pounds with you all day long.
Yeah. Dude,
that sucks.
Yeah. Like, yeah. No, like military gear, like people in the military, like I think their packs are 60 pounds or something like this. Like
I was going to say, I've dominated runs before. They're miserable. So it's like, and it's like in Skyrim, it's like, oh, no big deal. I'm just going to walk around with 575 pounds of Dwemer crap on my back.
Yeah.
Right. Not a big deal.
And it's just some dragon bones. Don't worry. They're not that heavy.
when I go backpacking, I have 40 to 45 pounds on my back, and I can't imagine trying to get in a fight with something after walking for 8 hours with that on my back.
Yeah, oh my god,
just kill me, it's fine.
Yeah, I'm exhausted.
I want to fight everything always.
You gotta drop your pack. That's why I always wonder about in these books where they're narrating like a fight. I'm like, these people were just on the road with tons of luggage and now they're in a fight. Did you drop the 50-pound pack or no?
Right. I don't know. Maybe it's just an understanding that everybody places things neatly on the side of the road to then kill each other.
Yep. Right. Or use that as the weapon. They just swing the backpacks at each other.
I have a question.
Really strong.
I have an answer.
Do you, because when I do my challenge runs, I'm in over my head almost every single time. And yeah, so I have to like cheese it sometimes where if I'm fighting an enemy that's too powerful, I will often run away as far as I can and having them chase me intentionally, and I will bring them to a giant's camp. Do you do anything like that? Do you have like those gimmicks or you can like still fall within the rules, but I'll have them take care of it for me?
So yeah, on this carry weight one, if I receive an item and it takes me above carry weight, like the Axe of Whiterun, that's the one he gives you that's enchanted.
Yeah.
If there's an enchanting table or a way to dispose of it within the building that I receive it, then my character is struggling to get it over there or whatever, but he's allowed to carry it over there. But if there's nothing, like I can't nowhere to sell it or disenchant to get rid of that carry weight, I just have to drop whatever it is.
So that reminds me of a challenge run that the two guys that seem to like the challenge runs might like. One item. You only get one item. If you pick up another item, you got to drop that first one.
Ooh, one item.
Okay, one thing at a time.
That's actually pretty interesting.
That sounds like a good one.
I'm currently doing a run like that on a different game. It's Celasta, the D&D adjacent like game. Oh. It's like every single party member gets one single item. You either get real good,
real
good weapon, nothing else.
That's going to be hard. Yeah, Peacecat in chat is asking if you guys play on survival mode.
No, I make it hard enough on myself. I don't need to, like...
Survival mode feels, like, cheap the way it makes it hard. It does, I don't know.
It makes the game more tedious rather than interesting, in my opinion. Some people love exactly what survival mode brings to the game, and for me, it's just like, no, that gives me more homework, and I'm here to make the challenge that I want to do more challenging, not to just make this no longer fun.
Right.
I can hear that. I'm a little mixed on survival. There's some parts of the survival mode that I like, and other parts that I'm like, okay, I don't want to deal with this.
I like the cold feature.
Yep.
Because I live in Alaska. And so,
is it cold in Alaska? Just,
a little bit. Hey, it just became spring.
Yeah.
On every map, it's south of Mexico. What are you talking about?
Yeah, I have an uncle who's lived in Alaska for decades, and I've gotten and would spend parts of the year in a cabin away from the city on purpose and live off of like caribou meat and things like that.
Awesome.
Yeah.
There's a lot of people who do that.
Yeah.
Not me. Not really.
But not weirdos.
There's a cognitive dissonance for me when my character gets into water with ice floating on top of it. Like every alarm in my body is saying, like, what the hell are you doing?
Yeah.
So I appreciate that part of it where it's like, I want to go around this. Like, I don't want to go through that water.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But
yeah.
Then the sleep and food thing is not as interesting to me. The cold thing, I do like the cold. And maybe that's just because of, you know, who I am. Mm-hmm. I'm like, yes, I would be very cold here.
Yeah. And there's a lot of mods that allow you to adjust all the survival stuff even more so than in the base game. And those,
that's probably what I would
kind of
do.
Fun. Yeah. Where you get to like choose how severe certain things are and which things are on and off. Which is pretty cool, but I don't want to keep Rob and Falcon too long. If you guys need to dip out at any moment, feel free. If you want to say your goodbyes right now while we just kind of finish chatting, Rob, go ahead and do your little "Hey everyone, thanks for being here" thing, and we'll.
Do you want to press the button and see what happens?
All right, let's see what Rob says.
Have you guys heard of Skyblivion?
Okay, yeah,
boom,
thanks.
That's it.
Thanks, Rob.
That actually is like the perfect outro.
I'll Falcon? Catch you guys later.
and feel free to stay as long as you can. You don't have to leave right now.
No, I actually probably should. I was just looking at the clock. I probably should go.
All right.
So, that's all there is to it. Take care, guys.
Thanks for making time to be here. Falcon, anything you want to say before you leave? You know how sometimes you look in the mirror and you think, if only I could lose that extra weight. And you've been trying and trying. Well, have you considered weight loss by Hims? It's designed to support losing weight and keeping it off, and they now offer an affordable range of FDA-approved GLP-1 medications, including the Wegovy pill and the Wegovy pen. It helps you regulate your appetite and eat less, and in combination with both a better diet and exercise, you can lose 20% more weight. And you can get it easily with Hims. Everything happens online. They connect you to a licensed provider who will determine if this is the right treatment for you. Then, if prescribed, they'll ship it to you right to your door. No insurance necessary. And on top of that, they support you beyond just selling you the thing. They'll support you with messaging from their care team. There's also an in-app lifestyle and nutrition support that includes recipes and meal plans, fitness videos, sleep content. Simply put, they will dial in exactly what you need in order to reach your goals. So if you're ready to reach your goals, visit hims.com/scrollslore to get a personalized, affordable plan that gets you. That's hims.com/scrollslore. hims.com/scrollslore. Weight loss by Hims is not available in all 50 states. Wegovy is the registered trademark of Novo Nordisk AS. To get started and learn more, including important safety information, Wegovy clinical study information, and restrictions, visit hims.com.
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
Don't really do much.
Well, cool. I hope you have a good rest of your night, and feel free to hang out as long as you can.
Cheers, have a good night.
Yeah.
Yeah.
See you, dude. So the one thing I wanted to bring up is you guys have heard me talk about role-playing characters and the Naked Wizard, and you've even probably listened to some of those things I've done. Today I got into the Kizal role-playing servers, which is a thing that just has really come online in the last few weeks. What they do, you download, you go to the Kizal, KEIZAAL.com. You download their little client. It only works on PC. And then you use their client to download a bunch of Nexus mods that set you up to be in a world with 650 other people. It's basically Skyrim role-playing where there are no NPCs run by the computer. everyone is role-playing as a character in the world. So if you go into Whiterun and you're looking for a blacksmith, you actually find somebody role-playing as a blacksmith and you buy something from them and they make it for you. Or you bring them ore in there because they need more ore for the things they're making or whatever. And the whole world works this way. You can go to all these different cities. Everyone's running around. It took me a little bit to get it up and running because I had to do a fresh install of Skyrim to make sure everything was running right. But once I got in, it just worked. It's a little laggy when there's lots of people running around, but other than that, it actually just works. And this even includes, like,
that should be a tagline.
Yeah, it just works. Amazing. Yeah,
I feel like I might have heard that somewhere before, but I'm sure it's not true.
Can you go to the mountain?
so you can go there are dungeons, but the dungeons don't have the same enemies in them that you would expect them to have. And because everyone starts with like a wood axe, a pickaxe, some basic clothes, a little bit of money, that's all you have to begin with. And there are people walking around all decked out because they spent days working on someone's farm, collecting grain or whatever in order to make money, and then they went and bought gear, and then they went it's crazy.
I thought you were going to say, like, there's no, the enemies that are supposed to be in the dungeons aren't there. It's just like other players.
It's just being other players.
Like, as you walk in, they
someone's just playing a Draugr and they're just chilling in a corner waiting for their moment.
I thought that's what you meant too, that they weren't just enemies. Like, sometimes you just have to be an enemy and you have to be a bandit.
Well, you can be a bandit. So if you read on the website or if you go onto their Discord, you can see there's a bunch of rules and they will actually like enforce the rules. If somebody is breaking the rules, you will get arrested and then you can even be like, killed. Like if you die, you resurrect in a temple somewhere. But if you RP die, then your character gets deleted and you have to make a new character. And if you break the rules too much in a really not role-playing sort of way, you get kicked off the servers. Like they're super, super invested in making this actually work. And it does. You can walk around. There's a button where you can hit the button and talk to other people. You can emote and do things. You can trade with them. You can't pick up things in the world other than things that you can like collect from skills. So for example, you can collect a bunch of ingredients off the ground, like flowers and plants and things like that. Or you can go mine, or you can cut wood and do those sorts of things. But if you come across like a house somewhere with like a bag of gold, you can't pick up that bag of gold. Like all of that stuff is turned off so that you can't just go loot everything and become like super wealthy because everybody knows where all the loot is, that sort of thing. But the dungeons are mixed up. There's different things in the dungeons. The enemies are difficult. So you're going to have to spend time like actually being part of the world economy in order to make enough to go do a dungeon. So I only had a little while once I got it up and running today, and I think I might actually stream this live because it might be fun to get other people's ideas as we're playing through this. But I rolled a Khajiit. I made a Khajiit, and his name was what was it? It was something the honest. I was telling Lotus about this when we started.
It was a play on the word lie, but it was
Fibber.
Honest.
It was the word Fibber. It was Fibber. He was Fibber the honest. And I was walking around Whiterun and I was like, oh, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to do the trade up challenge. So I picked a flower. I got a red flower off the ground and I walked up to somebody and I was like, this one is trying to trade up for something of slightly higher value. I have a flower. Do you have anything that is slightly more valuable than a flower? And the guy was like, I got a pickaxe. And I was like, that sounds wonderful. I'll trade you my flower for your pickaxe. So he gives me the pickaxe. It went from something valued 1 to something valued 10. And I was like, wow, that's 10 times the value. That's amazing. And then I went to Bleak Falls Barrow because I wanted to see what was inside when you went in. Turned out it was a bunch of skeletons. But there were two guys hanging out up front. It was like a Breton and a High Elf. And they were decked. They were decked out in like ebony armor. And like really, like they'd been playing for a while. And I was like, this one, I'm up in my rags. And I'm like, this one is just exploring the area. You know, could you give me some tips for a new explorer? And they're like, oh, well, if you want to buy the best gear, go to Falkreath. Oh, Falkreath, where is that? Oh, if you head down the, like, we're just having a conversation. And I was like, this one is also trying to trade up. And I explained it to him. And I was like, do you have anything for a pickaxe? And the High Elf was like, yeah, I think I got something. Opened up his inventory. I insert my pickaxe. He drops in a ruby. And I was like, what? So he gives me a ruby. That's worth 100. I just 10x'd I just 100 times the value of that flower in two trades. And I was like, this is amazing because everyone's just happy to role play together and to just do stuff. And it was so fun in just that, like, hey, you could just be whoever you are doing your thing. And there are legitimately people who are just acting as city guards or working a farm. In fact, you go up to a farm, you can't pick the plants off the farm because you're not whitelisted to work on the farm. Somebody owns that plot of land and has to hire you and give you the approval to work on your farm.
Just like you wouldn't actually steal people's farm produce.
Right.
Just
you wouldn't download a
You wouldn't download a cabbage.
Yeah. So that seems like a lot of fun. Also, you can do magic, but you have to go to the college and you have to learn it from somebody, or you have to buy the books to learn them from the college. So most people are running around not able to do magic, which kind of makes sense. Like, everyone's a little bit magically inclined, but nobody's going to be really good at it unless they really invest in it. So it was really impressive. Like, it just worked. You know, Skyrim Together has been like super janky for a long time now. This was 600, and I think when I was on there, it was like 590 people just running around doing their things.
Impressive.
Yeah. And everyone,
shout out to them.
And everyone, when you talk to them, was like role playing their character. They were not, people were not breaking character. People were doing voices and like super, super cool for what little bit I was able to play today. So.
Was it difficult to like be allowed to join the server?
You get on the Discord, and if you go to that site, keizaal.com, you can just follow the instructions. But you basically log into their Discord, you have to confirm the Discord link through their little app that you download. And then you download the mods, and then you just get right in. Like, it's, and I think there's three servers right now. There's a whitelisted one, which is I think the people who are like officially approved. And then there are two public ones, but even the public one I got on was like totally fine. Everybody was just doing their thing.
Prove long enough that you're not a nuisance in the public one. Then you've proven that you're not going to wreck this for everybody else who's more interested in actually doing this thing. So you get the like pinkies up server.
Right. And they're adding stuff. You can look on their whole list of like things they add every week or two. They'll add new, in fact, they update their mods so that you have more functionality in the world for other stuff. Oh, and you asked about bandits. There's a rule that you can form bandits, and the size of your bandit gang can only be so big and can only operate in certain ways that are legal to the servers. But if you want to be bandits, you can be bandits, and you role play like holding people up on the side of the road and like telling them to give you, and you can't steal all their stuff, but you can ask for tribute, and you can be like, it's 5 gold to pass by or whatever. And then you and your buddies are like, holding people up, and then that person like gets their money stolen, and then they run to town, and then they tell the guards, and then the guards come and like try to deal with the bandits. Like it just works because everyone's legitimately just role playing what they're supposed to do in that world.
Is there like a guild of calamitous intent for the bandits, or like
I don't know. I haven't dug that deep into it, but I have a feeling that like if we got a group together, we could probably have a community in one of the cities somewhere where we're all working together, like certain people are gathering certain things, or we could become like an adventurers guild, and we can, and so here's another feature. If you go into the cities, I'm sure we could find ways to break it, but you go into the cities, there are boards up, and you can get like mods that have like little post-it boards that are basically, you know, the Radiant quests or whatever, just all posted on a board. Well, these are legitimate quests posted by players. So somebody might say something like, I'm a collector. I want the head of an ogre. I need some adventurers to go kill an ogre for me. And so like we could have an adventurers guild that goes and does those quests and brings people ogre's heads and then gets paid.
I might go sign up for that after this.
It's pretty cool. That's
pretty cool. Yeah.
It's pretty cool.
Sounds pretty appealing.
Yeah. I'll put on our Discord, I'll put a channel for Skyrim RP. And so I don't have to be the one that's running it. If like any of you guys or anyone listening to this episode gets super into it and you guys want to help coordinate stuff, go for it. Like, don't wait for me to do it. And I'll try to be as involved as I can. And I've been thinking about like role playing some stuff. Like I want to do. So one of the things I want to do is kind of like the Naked Wizard kind of thing, kind of like the old guy. But I want to see if I can like make money from people by like doing things like, hey, I'm an old man. Pay me for a riddle. You give me 3 septum and I'll tell you a riddle, and then the riddle doesn't make any sense. You know,
like, you're the old man. Wait a minute.
So I want to do stuff like that. I want to see
how Maik the liar makes his money.
Right. And then
you just say a lie for a dollar or whatever.
Right.
Magic Maik.
I gotta say, Tom, this is like the ultimate. If it's a role playing server, I expect these people to not only enjoy role play but to also enjoy the Elder Scrolls. You need to just ask them the obnoxious riddles from Arena that they use to verify that you bought the game.
There you go. Yeah. So to have like a list of those, but then I want to use all that money for the old man to buy a bunch of like actual spells. But then I wanted to name him something. Something the pantless or something like that, and so he's not the naked wizard, but he just has no pants, and everyone thinks he's a bum. But then also like just put all of the money he makes into like higher and higher level spells, so he's like dangerously powerful, and everyone underestimates him because they just think he's.
But
an
he
idiot.
Still doesn't ever buy pants,
and he never buys pants. Yes,
Tom, yes. I have a
he never
problem
learned to conjure
with
pants
like farming in games. Like if I want to go build something, I have a tendency to like dump hours and hours into it. I will dedicate my time to making you the most powerful wizard you have ever lived.
That would be amazing. That would be amazing. Like what if we took over like I don't know, just one of the little towns somewhere, like Riverwood or something like that, and that was like our little home base, and we all operated out of there. I don't know, we could pick a different place, but just something like that, you know. So anyway, that's what I've been diving into, because I noticed this a few months ago and I was like, this is really interesting. I wonder if it's going to go anywhere. And then it came back up recently as I noticed some other people streaming it. And I was like, wait, it's actually like it's up and it works. It's real.
I'm glad to hear it's working for people, because it seems like something you kind of need people to cooperate for, because it'd be so easy to just ruin it for other people, which nowadays just what people do. So it's like, it sounds really cool that people are just like, it's small enough, it's niche enough that it's like, no, there's not enough room for other people. Like we've got our community of people that actually want to do this. And if you don't, you don't have to be here.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the fact that it's like heavily moderated, it sounds like.
Yes. Yes.
That if you do start causing a ruckus, you're out of there. And so that's pretty interesting.
Yeah, I would highly recommend, before you get into it, go on the Discord, read through the rules, because it is very specific about, like, this takes place post the events of the game Skyrim. And when you're in the world, you only know things that you would know as your character in the world. So you can't refer to things. And on top of it, if you are playing with other players, and especially other friends, you really should only know things that your character knows. You shouldn't know things because your friend told you something.
Yeah.
So you have to actually role play in the world and be like, oh, you're explaining to me this thing. Okay, we'll go do that.
Right. It'd be fun if they could like section people off, as opposed to just needing to delete them from the server. They just like Solstheim's actually just like old timey Australia, where they're just shipping all the criminals.
They can only play in one little area, and they're all just mean to each other
to that
the whole time.
Island, so all they can do is grief each other.
Shipped off to Tasmania.
Yeah,
some people would love that too, though. Like some people, they
probably want that.
Yeah, maybe. Barky in chat is asking if necromancy is allowed. I'm not sure. I haven't read anything about that at all.
Because that's very like in game too. So like,
yeah, and I'm sure it's going to get more and more developed as we go. As I'm already part of this, I'm a part of this. I have nothing to do with it. Other than logged in there.
You've made your impact to the world.
But I don't know. I would love different ideas. If we could have like a group idea of just some group that is like coordinated with a goal, that would be a lot of fun, with different roles and that kind of thing. We can kind of plan that out. So just something to consider, because I thought it was a lot of fun.
I'd definitely be willing to look into that. That sounds pretty cool.
Yeah. Yeah. So again, KEIZAAL, Keizal Roleplay, Skyrim. You look up that stuff, it'll come up. And it's unfortunately, of course, it's only PC, because PC, you can't really do this on a console. But
I don't know that that would work on a console.
Yeah. Yeah. And I've been on server 2. Public 2 is the one I logged into with my Khajiit. So maybe we'll stick with that one. You know what? We're at the end of the show. Time to wrap it up. We've got Mintaka and Blinding Vision, just the two of you, everyone else left. Mintaka, any last thoughts? Anything else you want to share?
No, not really. Super thrilled I was able to make it again.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, totally.
Well, thanks for being here.
Mm-hmm.
Blinding, anything else?
Nothing specific. Have you guys heard of the Skyblivion project?
Well, let's see what Rob has to say about that.
Let's see what Rob has to say about that.
No way.
He hasn't.
What? Been.
It's a shame. I thought he knew about it, but I guess not.
I like orcs.
Oh, yeah. He likes orcs. Same. That's right.
Also,
that's
right. Check out Tanagrail, Fall of Avalon. I think they just dropped another DLC for free today, I think. I'm not sure. I got a notification about it. But
oh, cool. Cool, cool.
Other than that.
Awesome. Awesome. Lotus, anything else before we thank our patrons and all of that?
No, I was going to say our plan is to try to coordinate schedules and record an episode of USP's Tales of Tamriel this weekend, just to discuss all of the night market stuff that has now landed on console and PC. I've only got to mess with it a little bit. Ark has been sacrificing all of his sleep and doesn't seem to do anything except play it currently, which is... He's like, I don't know how to handle this. It's been a while since I've played this much ESO, but he's like, it's already impacting my sleep, which is problematic. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he seems very positive about it. And a lot of people on Reddit, like the first hour it was out, were like, oh my God, it's so hard. This sucks.
Well, that's the thing. This is for people who like challenge stuff. This is not for people who are just there for the story or there for relaxing things. That is literally not what this is designed for. It was designed to be group content for people that wanted a challenge. So if that does not sound appealing, I would pass on this because that's what it is and that's what you're going
to
get with it.
I think we just need to be okay with an MMO having features that aren't for everyone.
Yes, people like, can't accept stuff like that.
I don't fish a lot, but I'm not sad that fishing is a thing. So if people like to fish, go fish. You know, like
there's not a lot of us that literally like playing every aspect of the game.
Right.
Right. And there's some that I definitely enjoy more than others. So you know, it is what it is. But yeah, it seems like if you're looking for some challenging group content, but not the type of group content, ironically, it's something I've been talking about for a while where I'm like, I love trials and dungeons and stuff like that, but the formula of run this on the hardest difficulty and have nobody in your group die and do it really fast. And by the way, it relates to all of you. So if you go and do it and you don't die, I don't care. It doesn't count still because everybody needs it. That formula has been fun, but I feel like it's sort of run its course as far as I'm concerned. I mean, it's like,
yeah,
I don't know. Between the dungeons and trials, it's going to be about 50, 60 different. It's okay. Yes. Like this is just kind of like group with a horde and you can run around and you can be coordinated for stuff and there's mechanics, but it's not a nobody can die in this scenario. From the little I've played, everybody dies in this scenario, just all of them. Like you got randoms flying off cliffs and they're getting blown to bits and stuff like that. I think it seemed pretty fun. I definitely this weekend, my dungeon team, potentially my old trial team, we're all going to go on as a group and we're going to run it. Like we're going to run into there, and then obviously you can do way more than just a 12-man trial type of thing. But like we did it for charity events before where it was like, oh, let's see how many dragons we can kill. And there were some randoms, you know, fighting the dragons and stuff like that, or whatever. I say the dragons just because they tend to be a harder soloable world event. And as a joke, we ran in as our coordinated trial team.
Right.
And we obliterated the thing so fast, people in zone were just like, what's with the organized death ball? And it was just us running from thing to thing. Just it was like, well, we're used to fighting things with 250 million XP or hit points. This thing has 19 million. It's like, it's dead so fast we can barely look at it because we're used to, you know,
you're geared up for much speed harder run stuff.
Things. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. So it's like, but it's fun to be able to do that in an overworld setting rather than an instant setting. So I'm really excited to dive into this and spend some time with it.
Nice. Nice.
It's also fun to do normal trials with a group like that.
Oh
like,
yeah.
Bring 11 of your group members in and pick up a random from like the,
we actually so have fun. I was going to say, we actually were, it's an older trial, but it's my favorite one is still the Maw of Lurkaj. And there was, it's still also one of the best skins I feel in the game. It's just, yeah, it's very cool. It's, you know, black cat with the lightning bolts type of thing. And for a long time, that was like the most coveted thing. And we were just trying to set the server record for a while. And if we botched it and like somebody died, one person from the group would drop and we would send an invite looking for one to just one of our things. And somebody would come in and we would just immediately give them the skin and they'd just be like, I don't even know what's happening. Why is everything dying so fast? We're like, ah, we were actually like a score push group. Like, but here, have a free skin. And so many people were just like, oh my God, I've never even like seen this. This is amazing. I was like, yep, all right. So anyways, bye. Like,
that's awesome.
So yeah, stuff like that can be super fun.
My Godslayer team did that for a friend of mine.
Yeah.
Back in the day. Yeah.
Yep.
Pulled him into the last boss instance when someone had to drop.
Yeah. And that's just it. It's like, it that's super fun when you can just like show some, because sometimes when they see it, they're kind of like, oh, maybe I actually want to get involved with this. Like, this seems kind of fun. Obviously I'm not going to jump right into something crazy, like difficult, like that type of deal, but it's like, oh, this actually, I could be part of something like this. And I know people that's how they've kind of gotten started. Like, oh, that was actually pretty fun. I didn't really do much. Now I want to know how it works. So,
Right. Yeah. So go play ESO. Moral of the story. find Lotus's group and have them carry you through stuff.
See if we can Zerg ball through whatever we're fighting.
yep. Well, I already talked about what I was doing recently, but also you can check out the Lord of the Rings Lorecast and the Fallout Lorecast and Retro Recall. We're covering the first four Super Mario games coming up in May. Mario 1 just came out. The episode where we talked about, is this the most important game ever made? And we're going to cover Mario 2, 3, and World coming up. So go check that out on whatever podcatcher you're listening to this on. And we've got our random page. But before that, thank you to our patrons. Thank you guys for being here and being a part of this. And also welcome to Christian M and Christopher R, joining new patrons. So glad that you decided to join us. And shout outs to all of our Daedric Princes, Kira C, Blinding Vision, Hersine, Peter R, Austin B, and Mintaka. Thank you for your support. And if you'd like to leave a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts and some words, we'll read that out on a future episode of the show. And we have a random page. You guys want to guess what game this is about?
Shadow Key.
Nope.
Yeah.
Someone's gonna guess it.
It's gonna come up one of these days. Yeah.
It is eventually. It's
eventually.
We lose our minds.
Crappy sound animation models.
Mintaka, do you want to guess? What game?
Is it ESO?
It's not ESO, no.
Oh, okay.
Statistically, the most likely at this point.
Yes, all right. I'm going to go with Skyrim then.
That's Morrowind. Wow. It's under People, Merchants, and Trainers, Reviso and Dallas, a dark elf savant who can be found at the Redoran stronghold in Molagmar. He offers medium training in mercantile and speechcraft, minor training in athletics, and will barter in books, though he doesn't have any to sell. Cool.
Okay.
All right.
Sure.
That right. Sounds oddly worded, even for like
a wiki.
Yeah, right.
So here's
he'll buy thing. Them.
He'll buy books.
He'll buy books. Mm-hmm. But if you sell him the books, can you then buy them back?
I don't know. Maybe we should go try it.
Challenge run.
On today's challenge run, I tried to find
all the books.
Reviso and Dallas and Alden's find sell him every book in the entire game.
Which ones am I allowed to buy back?
All right, everybody. Thank you for joining us, chat. Thank you for being here as well. I love all the different comments and things. We can't always respond to everything, but so glad that you're here and we're reading all the comments. And Lotus and I will be back next week with another iceberg episode, most likely. That's what the plan is so far, unless something crazy happens and we just have to cover that instead.
Iceberg sinks.
Yeah. And also, if you want to play Skyrim RP with us, jump on our Discord. The Robots Radio Discord has all the different shows on the network, but also specific channels for things like playing Skyrim RP. We'll see you on there and stay safe. See you next time.
Thanks for tuning in to the Elder Scrolls Lorecast. Check out robotsradio.net for more podcasts just like this, and join us on the Robots Radio Discord. Be part of a community of over 5,000 people who are excited about video games and so much more. Robots Radio. Games. Lore. Stories. Community. Just press play.